This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. اللهم اهد قلبي وسدد لساني واسلل سخيمة قلبي، آمين يا رب العالمين. الحمد لله. With Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's great blessing and favor, we begin the program Qareebun Mujib, a series on du'as in the month of Ramadan. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us sincerity so that we begin and complete this series only for His sake. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to act upon whatever we learn in this series. Ameen. Dua is the best act of worship. It is a means of drawing near Allah Azza wa Jal. And when a person calls upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they get to express their pain, their worries, their concerns before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person makes dua, they are demonstrating their dependency on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are manifesting their weakness, their neediness before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are calling upon the one who hears, the one who knows, the one who is merciful, the one who is kind. The fact is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is perfectly great. And we, His slaves, are the ones who are poor. We are the ones who are in need of Him. We are the ones who are weak. And there is no stage of our lives when we can be independent of calling upon Allah. Rather, we are such that no matter what stage of our lives we are in, no matter what we are doing, no matter what is happening in our lives, we are in need of calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as we continue to call upon Allah, this helps us maintain a constant connection with our Lord Azza wa Jal. And when we call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this helps us to continue to have faith in Allah, to continue to believe in Him. And when we call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are recognizing our neediness. And we are recognizing the fact that we have a Lord who helps, a Lord who cares, a Lord who listens, and a Lord who is able to grant us what we need. Allah, our Lord, is near. He is qareeb. He is mujib. He responds to us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانٌ فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. And when my servants ask you concerning me, indeed, I am near. I respond to the invocation of the supplicant when he calls upon me. So let them respond to me by obedience and believe in me so that they may be rightly guided. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows His mercy towards people in this ayah by calling them ibadi, my slaves. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes Himself as qareeb, as the one who is near, then He is encouraging us to call upon Him. So we are the slaves of Allah. We belong to Allah. And He, the Exalted, is near. He is not far. So we can call upon Him whenever we want. We can call upon Him whenever we need. In a hadith we learn, Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu reported that once we were in the company of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and we were traveling, and whenever we went up a high place, we would say, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, and our voices used to rise, meaning they would say this out very, very loudly. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to them that, O people, be merciful to yourselves. Be kind to yourselves, meaning you do not need to shout. You do not need to raise your voice. And he said, you are not calling upon someone who is deaf or someone who is absent. Rather, you are calling upon the one who is with you. No doubt, he is Sami'un Qareebun. He is all hearer. He is ever near. Tabaraka ismuhu wa ta'ala jadduhu. His name is blessed and exalted is his greatness. So in this hadith also, we learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is near. So we can call upon him in our heart, or we can whisper to him, or we can talk to him in a way that is audible. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Taha, وَإِن تَجْهَرْ بِالْقَوْلِ فَإِنَّهُ يَعْلَمُ السِّرَّ وَأَخْفَى. And if you speak aloud, then indeed He knows the secret and what is even more hidden. Subhanallah. There are times when we are able to express our dua verbally. And then there are times when we just keep what is in our heart, in our heart. We don't even know what words to use. We don't even understand how we can express ourselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. He hears the call of our heart. He knows what we say in our hearts. So no matter how we talk to Allah, Allah hears because He is qareeb. In a narration, we learn that a man said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that aqareebun rabbuna, that is our Lord near, so that we should whisper to Him, or is He far, so that we call out to Him in an audible way? So this ayah was revealed that وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. I am near. So call upon Allah however you want. You can make your dua audible, or you can whisper, or you can say in your mouth, or just in your heart. And remember that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hears, He cares, He responds. As He says in this ayah, that ujibu da'wata da'i idha da'an, that I respond to the dua, the call of the caller when he calls upon me. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers. He responds. In a hadith we learn that a Bedouin came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and he said, O Messenger of Allah, teach me something good. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam took his hand and he said, say subhanallah, meaning on his fingers he showed the man how to count. Say subhanallah, walhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. So the man repeated the words on his hands. And then he thought for some time and he came back to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and he said that, O Messenger of Allah, these words, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, all of these words are for Allah. What about me? What is for me? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to him that when you say Allahu Akbar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, sadaqta. Allah responds, He answers, and He says, you have spoken the truth. When you say, Alhamdulillah, when you say Subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you have spoken the truth. When you say Alhamdulillah, Allah says, you have spoken the truth. When you say La ilaha illallah, Allah says, you have spoken the truth. When you say Allahu Akbar, Allah says, you have spoken the truth. When you say, Allahumma ghfirli, oh Allah, forgive me, Allah says, I have done that. When you say, Allahumma arhamni, oh Allah, have mercy on me, Allah says, I have done that. When you say, Allahumma rzuqni, oh Allah, provide me, Allah says, I have done that. Subhanallah, every time that you mention the glory of Allah, every time that you call upon Allah, asking Him for something, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds, He answers, because He is near. So we should feel that Allah is near. We should remember this fact that Allah is near. And with that feeling, with that in our minds, we should remember Allah. We should call upon Him. We should beseech Him. You see, at times we hesitate asking people for help and we hesitate sharing our feelings with them. Why? Because people, sometimes they seem so distant. They're so preoccupied with their own worlds. They're so lost in their own worlds that even though they may be sitting right next to us, they're so disconnected. They're so aloof. Sometimes you're talking to someone and it appears as if they're hearing, but they're not actually listening. Sometimes people hear, they listen to what we're saying, but they completely ignore us or they show no empathy whatsoever. So what happens is that over time, we develop the habit of keeping everything inside. We learn not to share with people. We learn not to express our feelings before them. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not like that. He is near. He is accessible. He is approachable at any time of day or night. At any place you are in, He is near. As we learn in hadith, وَأَنَا مَعَهُ إِذَا دَعَانِي, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I am with my slave when He calls upon me. When you call upon Allah, when you talk to Allah, Allah listens. He is near. At times we are afraid to ask people because we fear rejection. And rejection is something very painful. There is disappointment that follows. So when people reject us, then what happens is that we learn, we develop the habit of not having any expectations of them. And eventually a time comes where we stop having any hope. And we think that we should not be asking for help, you know, from anyone. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is near. He does not reject us. He does not disappoint us. He helps His slaves. He gives His slaves more than what they can even imagine. At times, we do not ask people because we fear their judgment. We fear that they will think of us as someone who is very greedy or someone who is very crazy or someone who is not being sensible. So then we learn to not dream big. And we learn to not have great aspirations. And we begin to keep everything inside bottled up. And we think that we have to be entirely self-sufficient and self-reliant because we believe that we falsely believe that we have no one but ourselves. But this is not how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has designed us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has designed us in a way that we need someone for support. We need someone for assistance. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us over here that He is qareeb. He is close to us. And this means that He is qareebun min sama'i du'a, meaning He is near us with respect to listening to our prayers. He hears our prayers when we call upon Him. And isn't this so beautiful? And if you think about it, you are such a tiny creature somewhere on this massive earth, which is somewhere in this massive universe, like a grain of sand is on a beach. Now imagine, what are you compared to the entire creation? You're so tiny. Yes, you may be so apparently insignificant, but when you call upon Allah, Allah hears you. Allah gives attention to you. Subhanallah. Allah gives you so much importance. Do you recognize your worth before Rabbul Alameen, before the Lord of the worlds? Allah is qareeb. He hears you. And Allah is qareeb, as in He is qareebul ijaba. He is near in terms of responding to your prayer. He does not delay. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's timing is perfect. He gives you what you need at the time that is perfect. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is near his slaves. He is qareeb, such that he knows each and every slave. And he is especially near his worshippers. So he is with them. He helps them. He hears them. He accepts their prayers. And he gives them the ability to do good. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is near, فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ, this means that there is no need of an intermediary, a third figure between you and your Lord. You see, in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ, that when my slaves ask you about me, then indeed I am near. It has not been said that فَقُلْ إِنِّي قَرِيبٌ, that then you, O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, should tell them that I am near. The word qul, say, is not even there, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is responding directly to his slaves over here. He does not ask his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam to tell people about what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses his slaves directly. He responds directly. So this is the way that you call upon Allah directly. And you know what? You are worthy of doing that because Allah hears you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ, I respond to the call of the caller when he calls upon me. Meaning Allah does not waste the dua of his slave. Allah is not preoccupied with something that would distract him from answering you, from responding to you, from giving attention to what you are saying. No, أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ, I respond to the call of the caller when he calls upon me. The question is, who is this da'i? Who is this caller? This is the caller, the one who truly, correctly calls upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with attentiveness, with hope, with conviction. And while removing any barriers that prevent the dua from being accepted. So remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds, ujibu. He says, ujibu, I respond. And response does not necessarily mean that a person is given exactly what they're asking for. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala certainly responds. And he knows how to respond to his slave. What to give to his slave. Because sometimes we don't even know ourselves what is good for us, what is right for us, or when is the right time for us to have something. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. So he responds every time you talk to him, you call upon him, and he responds in different ways. So we should call upon Allah with faith, with conviction. And we should call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like Zakariya alayhi salam, like he said, وَلَمْ أَكُمْ بِدُعَائِكَ رَبِّ شَقِيَّ, and never have I been in my supplication to you, my Lord, unhappy. Meaning, oh my Lord, every time that I have called upon you, I have been happy after that. I have never been disappointed after that. I have never failed after that. So we see that the one who calls upon Allah certainly receives something. They're not returned empty-handed. أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ. Allah says, فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. So they should respond to me and they should believe in me so that they're rightly guided. Meaning, just as we like that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should respond to us, we too should respond to Allah when He calls us. You see, when we are called to salah, hayya ala salah, hayya ala al-falah, come to prayer, come to success, what is our response? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls us in the Quran, ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who have believed, and then a command is given, then how do we respond? If we want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to respond to us, then we should also respond to Allah when He calls us. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses us, commands us to do something, prohibits us from doing something, then we should listen, we should obey. وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي, and they should believe in me. Meaning we should believe in Allah. We should believe in the fact that He hears. We should believe in the fact that He has power over everything. We should believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's generosity, in His mercy, in His compassion, in His judgment, in His decree. Well, yu'minu bi, call upon Him with conviction, with faith, la'allahum yarshudun, so that they're rightly guided. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that the supplication of the servant is accepted as long as he does not supplicate for what includes sin or cutting the ties of relationship, and as long as he does not become hasty, meaning as long as a person does not ask for what is sinful and does not ask for something that means that their ties of kinship will be severed, and as long as they do not become hasty, their dua will be accepted. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked that, O Messenger of Allah, what does it mean by being hasty? How can the da'i, the person making dua, become hasty? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the person says, da'autu wa da'autu, meaning I supplicated, I made dua, but I did not see that my dua was being accepted. And so the person loses interest and he abandons dua. This is being hasty. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us to not be hasty. So we should keep calling upon Allah. We should keep asking Allah, because He is qareeb, He is near, and He is mujib. He responds, He answers. In Surah Hud, ayah 61, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِلَىٰ ثَمُودَ أَخَاهُمْ صَالِحًا قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ اعْبُدُوا اللَّهِ مَا لَكُمْ مِنْ إِلَٰهٍ غَيْرُهُ هُوَ أَنْشَأَكُمْ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ وَاسْتَعْمَرَكُمْ فِيهَا فَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ ثُمَّ تُوبُوا إِلَيْهِ إِنَّ رَبِّي قَرِيبٌ مُجِيبٌ. And to Thamud, we sent their brother Salih. He said, O my people, worship Allah. You have no deity other than Him. He has produced you from the earth and settled you in it. So ask forgiveness of Him and then repent to Him. Indeed, my Lord is near and responsive. Salih alayhi salam invited his people to worship Allah alone. And he reminded them that Allah is their only God, the only one who deserves their worship. And he reminded them that Allah is the one who created them, who produced them, and who caused them to inhabit the earth. And then he invited them to seek forgiveness from Allah and to repent to Him. And then he gave them hope. He told them that my Lord is near. He is responsive. So call upon Him. So the one who is near, the one who responds, then do you not want to be near Him and ask Him? He, subhanAllah, if someone were to offer us that, I am here, I'm listening to you, ask me for, you know, for anything. I am here, I've got my checkbook with me. Ask me for anything, I will give it to you. Then no matter what we are doing, we would leave it and we would come and we would benefit from that opportunity, because we don't know when else we will have an opportunity like that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is qareeb, He is ever near. He is mujib, He is ever responsive. He responds to His slaves. Now you see, Salih alayhi salam told his people to, first of all, bear in mind that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one worthy of worship. Secondly, he told them to remember the favors of Allah, that He is the one who created you, He is the one who inhabited you in your land, provided you everything that you have. Thirdly, he told them to seek forgiveness from Allah. Fourthly, he told them to repent to Allah. And finally, he said, Inna Rabbi Qareebun Mujib, he invited them to call upon Allah. So this shows us that before dua, before we call upon Allah, there must be iman. There must be faith in the oneness of Allah. Secondly, there must be shukr. There must be recognition, acknowledgement of God's favors, gratitude for the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. And when we have shukr, before we ask Allah, shukr also brings us hope and conviction that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me so much, without even me asking him for any of this. And he has so much to give. He has created so much. He has given me abundantly before. Then I have hope that he will also give me what I am asking him for. So there is shukr. Thirdly, there is istighfar, that we should seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for our shortcomings. And you see, this is very natural. When you are making dua, sometimes there is a sense of shame and guilt, that how can I ask Allah when I am such a bad person, when I have committed such and such sin? And shaitan also whispers to you that your dua will not be accepted. This dua, your dua will not be accepted. Today, your dua will not be accepted because you are such a bad person. You are so evil. You have done this and you have done that. So these negative thoughts and these whispers of shaitan, they prevent us from making dua, from having hope. So how should we counter these negative thoughts? With istighfar, that we seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We admit our shortcomings before Him, that yes, I have committed many sins, wa'taraftu bi dhanbi, and I confess all of my sins before you, Ya Rabb. But I also ask you, because your treasures are vast and your forgiveness is great. So seek forgiveness. Fourthly, we see that He told them to repent to Allah, to do tawbah. And what is tawbah? That a person leaves sins, and that a person has the firm intention to change their ways, to become better than before. So make tawbah. And then when you will make dua after these steps, you will find your Lord to be qareebun mujib, the one who is near, the one who is responsive. And you see, the opposite of qareeb is ba'id, meaning someone who is distant, someone who is far. Someone who is distant is not just someone who is distant in a physical sense. You see, sometimes there could be someone who is sitting right next to you, or who lives with you in your home, all right? But they're still distant from you. You have no connection with them. Why? Because you don't find them to be kind and affectionate. They don't care about you. They don't show any empathy toward you. They don't help you. It doesn't seem like they love you. And when they show harshness, then you feel even more distant from them. When they yell at you, when they disrespect you, when they're rude to you, you feel even more distant from them. So there's that disconnect. Allah Azza wa Jal is qareeb. Qareeb as in He is ra'uf, He is rahim, He is kind, He is merciful. He protects us, He provides us, He guides us. He is qareebun mujib. So we should call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, as we talk about dua and the different ways of calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let us first talk about what dua really is. What is it? What is this concept of dua? Now, linguistically, the word dua is from da'a yad'u, from the masdar dua or da'wa, and it means to call someone. How? In an audible way. And to call someone in order to draw their attention to what you are asking for. This is dua. And when it is said, da'autullah, meaning I made dua to Allah, it means that I prayed to Allah. I asked Him with humility, hoping that He will grant me from the good that He has. In the Quran, the word dua is used in a number of ways. First of all, we see that the word dua is used in the meaning of calling, as in summoning someone, to summon. To call, as in to summon. So in Surah Ali Imran, ayah 61, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَقُلْ تَعَالَوْ نَدْعُ أَبْنَاءَنَا وَأَبْنَاءَكُمْ, that say to them, tell them that come, we should call, meaning we should summon our children and your children. Secondly, the word dua is also used in the Quran in the meaning of asking for something. In Surah Fatir, ayah 18, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that وَإِن تَدْعُ مُثْقَلَةٌ إِلَىٰ حِمْلِهَا, that on the day of judgment, if someone who is heavily laden with the burden of sin calls another person to bear their sin, to bear their burden, they will not help. So وَإِن تَدْعُ, call as in to ask someone to come and help. Thirdly, the word dua is also used in the Quran for Saying as in proclaiming something. In Surah Al-A'raf, Ayah 5, فَمَا كَانَ دَعْوَاهُمْ Their only da'wah, as in their only proclamation, their only claim, their only statement, then was such and such. Fourthly, dua also means to worship. In Surah Al-Kahf, we learn, وَرَبَطُنَا عَلَى قُلُوبِهِمْ إِذْ قَامُوا فَقَالُوا رَبُّنَا رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَن نَدْعُوَ مِن دُونِهِ إِلَهًا We will never call upon someone other than Allah as a God. Meaning we will never worship someone other than Allah. So لَن نَدْعُوَ dua means worship. Number five, dua also means to request for help. To call to one's aid. In Surah Al-Baqarah, we learn, فَأْتُوا بِسُورَةٍ مِّن مِّثْلِهِ وَادْعُوا شُهَدَاءَكُمْ Call your witnesses, meaning call them to your aid. Then number six, it also means to invite. Like Nuh alayhi salam said, قَالَ رَبِّ إِنِّي دَعَوْتُ قَوْمِي لَيْلًا وَنَهَارًا I called my people, meaning I invited them by night and by day. Number seven, it also means to assert something. So for example, in Surah Al-Ahzab, we learn, أُدْعُوهُمْ لِآبَائِهِمْ Call them by their fathers. Meaning when you called someone, call them by the name of their father, that the son of so-and-so, meaning their actual father. Number eight, it means to ask or to pray for something. So in Surah Al-Baqarah, we learn, قَالُوا دُعُوا لَنَا رَبَّكَ The Bani Israel said to Musa alayhi salam that you should call upon your Lord, meaning ask your Lord, pray to your Lord. So when we're talking about calling upon Allah, then dua means asking Allah with humility for the good that he has and asking him with hope. Tibi, he said that dua is to express extreme humility and neediness and weakness before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn al-Qayyim said, dua is to ask Allah for something that benefits the one who is asking, and to ask Allah for protection against that which is harmful for the one who is asking. So there's two aspects to dua. One, you are asking Allah to grant you what is beneficial for you, and you're asking Allah to protect you from what is harmful for you. So both of these things are included in dua. Now there are two kinds of dua in our deen. First of all, dua is dua ibadah, meaning dua which is synonymous to worship. And this is that a person worships Allah with hope of reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and hope of protection from his punishment. So for example, when a person performs salah, or they're fasting, or they are reciting Quran, or they're giving sadaqah, they're making dhikr, they're glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of these acts are acts of worship. And through these acts of worship, in these acts of worship, what are we doing? We are hoping for reward from Allah, and we're also hoping that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect us from punishment. So any such deed is basically a state in which you are asking Allah for reward and you are asking Allah for protection against punishment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمُ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ And your Lord says, call upon me, I will respond to you. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ عَنْ عِبَادَتِي سَيَدْخُلُونَ جَهَنَّمَ دَاخِرِينَ Indeed, those who disdain my worship will enter hell rendered contemptible. So in this ayah, dua means both things, calling upon Allah and also worshipping Allah. Now the second type of dua is dua that is a request, where we are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for something, and this is dua mas'ala. So this is where a person is directly asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for something good in this world or in the hereafter, and a person is asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect them from what is harmful in this world or in the hereafter. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that ad-du'a'u huwa al-ibadah. Dua is worship. And he recited the ayah, qala rabbukum ud'uni astajib lakum. Now when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that dua is worship, This means that dua is a major part of worship, or it is the best form of worship. This is similar to how the Prophet ﷺ said that al-hajju arafa, hajj is arafa. This doesn't mean that that hajj does not include going to Mina, or hajj does not include going to Muzdalifa. Hajj does not include the rami or tawaf or sa'i. No, all of those rituals are part of hajj, but the most significant part of hajj is what? It is arafa. The best of hajj is arafa. It is the essential of hajj. And this means that the person who finds arafa finds hajj, and the one who misses arafa misses hajj. And this also means that arafa is the most honorable act of worship during hajj. So when the Prophet ﷺ said that ad-du'a huwa al-ibadah, this means that it is the most honorable act of worship, the best form of worship, the most important part of worship, the essence of worship, the goal of worship, that you call upon Allah. And every act of worship of servitude is what? It is a way through which we are asking Allah. Sometimes we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala verbally, through our words, through our lisan. All right, we ask him that, Ya Allah, grant me this. Ya Allah, protect me from this. And sometimes we are calling upon Allah through our state, through our condition, through our actions. So for example, when you're praying salah, when you're reciting Quran, why are you doing that? You are doing that so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you reward. You're not asking verbally, Ya Allah, give me reward. No, but through your deed, you are hoping, you are expecting reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And dua is the most honorable act of worship, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also told us. Now remember that dua is something that we are all in need of, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses all people in the Quran. In Surah Fatir, ayah 15, Allah says, Ya ayyuhan nas, O mankind, O people, antumul fuqara'u ila Allah. All of you are in need of Allah. All of you are poor before Allah. Wallahu huwa al-ghaniyyul hamid. And it is Allah who is al-ghani, who is free of need. He is the one who is rich, and he is hamid, he is praiseworthy. Our condition is that we are fuqara, we are poor, we are in need. And really, if you think about it, what is that phase of our life, or that state, or that age where we can say we have no needs? Or what is that time of day or night, or time of year or month or week when we can say, I have no needs? No, we always have some need or another. We have the need to eat. We have the need to breathe. We have the need for connection. We have the need to feel loved. We have the need to feel accepted. We have the need to feel security. So all of us are poor, fuqara. We are in need, and we are in need of Allah. And Allah is the one who is rich, the one who is free of any need. He is the one who is completely independent, and the one who owns all treasures. And he is Hamid, he is perfect, he is always praiseworthy. So he is the giver, and we are the ones who are always in need of receiving. So we are always in need of calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the fact is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala owns everything. In Surah Al-Munafiqun, ayah 7, Allah says, وَلِلَّهِ خَزَائِنُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. To Allah belong the treasures of the skies and the earth. Everything within the skies and the earth, all of the treasures, all of the things belong to Allah. In Surah Al-Hijr, وَإِن مِّن شَيْءٍ إِلَّا عِنْدَنَا خَزَائِنُ. And there is nothing except that with us are its treasures. So whatever that we are in need of, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has it. Whatever that we want, whatever that we desire, whatever that we yearn for, whatever that we wish for, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has it in abundance. He is in control of it. which means that we can only receive it if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants it to us. So we should call upon Allah. There is no other way of getting it. We cannot get anything unless and until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives it to us. So if there is anything we want, we need to ask Allah. And remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is able to bring us benefit and also protect us from harm and to remove harm from us. In Surah Al-An'am, ayah 17, Allah says, وَإِن يَمْسَسْكَ اللَّهُ بِضُرٍّ فَلَا كَاشِفَ لَهُ إِلَّا هُوَ. And if Allah touches you with something of harm, then there is no remover of it except He. Meaning there is no one who can remove that harm from you except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِن يَمْسَسْكَ بِخَيْرٍ فَهُوَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. And if He touches you with something good, then he is able to do all things. In a hadith, we learn that a man from the tribe of Bul Hujaym asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that, O Messenger of Allah, what is it that you invite people to? Meaning, what's your message? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied that I invite to Allah alone. I invite people to Allah alone. He who, when some calamity strikes you, you call upon him and he removes it from you. And when you are in the wilderness and you lose your way, you get lost, and you call upon him, he saves you, he guides you. And when you are struck by famine and you call upon him, he causes plants to grow. And none of this is in your control. Subhanallah. And sometimes when we are in some difficulty and we want to get out of that state, you know, we would like to get rid of whatever is bothering us. For example, if we have fever and we want to get rid of that fever, we want to put it away, to take it away from us somehow, we are not able to do that. You can have medication upon medication, but it's not going to go away unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows. So Allah is the one who removes that calamity from you, that difficulty from you. When we are lost in any way, and we call upon Allah, Allah is the one who guides us. And if He does not guide us back, if He does not save us, then we would be lost forever. So we are in need of calling upon Allah. And the fact is that everything in the heavens and the earth depends upon Allah. In Surah Al-Rahman, we learn, يَسْأَلُهُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ كُلَّ يَوْمٍ هُوَ فِي شَأْنٍ. That whoever is in the skies and whoever is in the earth calls upon Allah. Everyone, everything asks Allah. And every day he is in a new sha'an, meaning he's bringing about something new. So everything in the heavens and the earth depends on Allah, including us. Now, when people call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remember that there are four types of people when it comes to calling upon Allah. One of the scholars said that people are of four categories with respect to calling upon Allah. First of all, are people who neither worship Allah nor ask Him for help. And there are people who live their lives without worshiping Allah, without making dua, without asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help. Whereas Allah is the one who has created them. He is the one who has given them everything they have. And He is the one who has granted them well-being and safety and protection. So they're committing a great injustice by neither calling upon Allah nor worshiping Him. The second type of people are those who ask Allah for help and He helps them, but they do not worship Allah. And yes, this is true. That even those people who do not worship Allah, who do not believe in Allah, when they call upon Allah in a state of ittirar, in a state of desperation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps them. Then the third category of people is of those who worship Allah and obey Allah, but they do not ask Him for anything. They do not call upon Him. They do not make dua, and they do not put their trust in Allah. And there are many Muslims who are like that. They will, do things that Muslims are supposed to do. But they don't make dua when they're in difficulty. They don't raise their hands. They don't beg Allah. They don't humble themselves before Allah. And the fourth category of people is of those who worship Allah. And they ask Him, they pray to Him, they ask Him for help. So He helps them and He responds to them and He helps them to worship Him, to obey Him, and He also helps them in other matters that they ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help for. So in the Quran, we learn, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. It is you alone we worship and you alone we ask help from. Meaning, to worship Allah also, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us. So we want to be of the fourth category, the people who worship Allah and the people who call upon Allah. Now, dua is something very important, and it is also something very, very beneficial. First of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala invites us to call upon Him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala invites us that we should call upon Allah, we should ask Allah. In hadith, we learn that in the last third of the night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses people, and He says that, is there anyone who will call upon me so that I will answer him? Is there anyone who will ask me for something so that I give it to him? Is there anyone who seeks forgiveness from me so that I forgive him? And Allah Himself invites us that we should call Him, we should ask Him, we should pray to Him. Subhanallah. So we should call upon Allah, we should make dua. Secondly, remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds to us. He answers us. فَإِنِّي قَرِيبُ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ. I respond to the call of the caller when he calls upon me. So we should ask Allah because He answers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that we should ask Him for His favor. وَاسْأَلُ اللَّهَ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. Ask Allah of His favor. And fadl, remember, is surplus. It is extra. It is something that a person is not necessarily deserving of. You know, for example, you give someone, you know, what they deserve, as in, for instance, their pay, right? If you have employed someone, you pay them. But fadl is that you give them more than what you are supposed to pay them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us over here, وَاسْأَلُ اللَّهَ مِنْ فَضْلِ. Ask Allah of His favor. Meaning ask Allah for things that you know you are not deserving of, or you think you are not deserving of. You think it is extra. You think you don't really need it. You think that you are not worthy of it. Still ask Allah for it, because Allah is able to give it to you. And Allah is very generous. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves it that we ask Him. This is so amazing. You see, people do not like that we should ask Him, but we should ask them, right? If you request someone for a favor once, twice, three times, it is something that, you know, they get tired of. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He invites us to call upon Him every night, every day, all the time we are invited to call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And every time that we are in need, we are to call upon Allah. And the thing is that our needs, they never end. For as long as we live, we are in need of one thing or another. Then we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to call upon Him for the fulfillment of every need. Every single need of ours, whether it is worldly or religious, something basic as in a necessity, or, you know, something greater than that, anything and everything. In a hadith, we learned the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah azza wa jal says that, O my slaves, all of you are lost except for the one whom I have guided. So seek guidance from me and I will guide you. O my slaves, all of you are hungry except for those whom I feed. So ask me for food, I will feed you. O my slaves, all of you are naked except for those whom I clothe, whom I give clothes to. So ask me for clothes, I will clothe you. O my slaves, You commit sin by night and by day, and I forgive all sins. So seek forgiveness from me. I will forgive you. O my slaves, if the first of you and the last of you and all of the people and all of the jinn were to stand in one open plain field and ask me for different things, for many things, I am able to give every single one what he is asking for. That would not reduce me in my treasures. Subhanallah. And in this hadith we learn that it would not reduce from the treasures of Allah except like what a needle reduces from the ocean when it is dipped into it, meaning nothing. So ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for whatever it is that you need, even the most basic things. We see that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he also told us to call upon Allah. In a hadith we learn that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, that oh boy, ya ghulam, I am going to teach you some words, meaning learn these words, bear them in mind. What are these words? إِحْفَظِ اللَّهَ يَحْفَظْكَ. You be mindful of Allah, Allah will protect you. إِحْفَظِ اللَّهَ تَجِدْهُ تُجَاهَكَ. Be mindful of Allah, you will find him before you. وَإِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَلْتَسْأَلِ اللَّهَ. That when you should ask, then you should ask Allah. Meaning when you have something to ask for, then direct your ask to Allah, ask him. وَإِذَا اسْتَعَنْتَ فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ. And when you need to seek help, then seek help from Allah. Allahu Akbar. Whenever you have any need, any request, anything that you need help in, then direct your dua, your requests to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching us to make dua. And when a person makes dua, they increase in dignity, in honor, in the sight of Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that لَيْسَ شَيْءٌ أَكْرَمَ عَلَى اللَّهِ مِنَ الدُّعَاءِ. There is nothing more honorable before Allah than dua. Meaning when you make dua to Allah, you increase in your honor in the sight of Allah. Subhanallah, when you ask people for something, then with every request, what happens? Your status decreases, your worth decreases, your dignity, it decreases in their eyes. When you ask Allah, you become more honorable because you find Allah closer and closer. And remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds to the du'as of his slaves. In the Quran, we learn, وَلَقَدْ نَادَانَا نُوحٌ فَلَنِعْمَ الْمُجِيبُونَ. Nuh called upon us. So how excellent are we to respond? Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds in the most excellent way. And he is excellent, as mujib. In the Quran, we learn, إِنَّ رَبِّي لَسَمِيعُ الدُّعَاءِ. Indeed, my Lord is surely the one who hears dua. Ibrahim alayhi salam said that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts the dua of the one who is desperate for help. In Surah An-Naml, Allah says, أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءُ. Or who is the one who responds to the one who is muttar, who is desperate for help, who is defeated in every way, who does not know how to help himself, who has no one around him to help him. But he calls upon Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds to him, answers him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yakshifu su, he removes the harm from that person. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said that this is the person who is in such a need that is causing him great hardship. And if that need is not fulfilled, he will be in great hardship. And other ulama, they have said that this is referring to someone who is suffering from extreme poverty. When they call upon Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring them relief. Or that this is the person who finds himself disconnected from everyone and everything. Sometimes you feel completely abandoned by others, completely disconnected. You don't know who to even talk to, who to call. And even if you were trying to call. Maybe your phone is not working. Maybe your phone is dead. Sometimes you find yourself in situations like that, that you have no way of reaching out to anyone. But remember, you always have a way of reaching out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All you have to say is, Ya Allah. All you have to do is call upon Allah. You talk to Him, and Allah is Qareeb. He responds, and He will bring you out of your difficulty. And we learned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us to call upon Him, and He promises us that He will respond to us. In a hadith, we learn that once, people were in great difficulty, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said to them that you have complained of drought in your homes, meaning in your land, you have complained that there is drought, there is no rain, there is no food, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered you to supplicate to Him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded you that you make dua to Him, and He has promised that He will answer you. These are the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَقَدْ أَمَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ أَن تَدْعُوهُ وَوَعَدَكُمْ أَن يَسْتَجِيبَ لَكُمْ. He has promised you. He has guaranteed that He will answer you. So this is what you should do in difficulty. Call upon Allah and believe that He will respond to you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the King. He is the Malik. He is the owner of everything. All the resources, all the treasures, all the powers are in His hand. Everything is in His control. He is Malik al-Mulk. And when He is the King, He calls us that we should ask Him. He orders us that we should pray to Him. We should ask Him. Think about the kings of this world. What do? They close their doors on people. You see, people who have wealth, people who have money, what do? They hide their wealth from people, from others. Why? Out of fear that if they see that I have money, that I have this and that, they will ask me for it. Maybe you have done this, that in your house, maybe you have hidden, your chocolates or your sweets or maybe some money that you have. Why? Because you're afraid that if your siblings see it, if your children see it, or even if your spouse sees it, they will ask for it. They will expect that you will give them something from it. So this is the nature of people, that we are stingy, right? Because we have very limited resources. We are poor. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not poor. He is the King who owns everything. And He invites us that we call upon Him. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends good for His slave, Ibn al-Qayyim said that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends good for His slave, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives His slave the opportunity to be humble and weak before Allah, to be needy before Allah. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees something for the slave because of which the slave is in great need. For example, everything's fine. All of a sudden, you find yourself in great difficulty and you are not able to help yourself. And you try different things to solve your problem, but you cannot solve it yourself. This means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has intended good for you. Why? Because now, what are you going to do? You're going to turn to Allah. You're going to humble yourself before Allah. You're going to cry before Allah. You're going to ask Allah for help. You're going to express your neediness, your weakness, your desperation, your ignorance, your sins even, your injustices. You will acknowledge the favors of Allah. You will acknowledge the gifts of Allah. You will acknowledge the power of Allah. So, this is excellent for the slave, that the slave shows servitude to Allah. Ibn Taymiyyah said that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends good for a slave, He inspires him in his heart to call upon Allah and to ask Allah. And when the slave asks Allah for help and calls upon Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes that dua a means of attaining the good that he prays for. And he now, when you were in difficulty and you made dua to Allah, what happened? After that dua, you got what you were asking for. So if you were not in difficulty, you would not have received something that is good for you. So remember that when we are in difficulty and we are calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants good for us. Remember that dua is something that is very, very beneficial. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that supplication benefits against that which has come and that which has not yet come. So hold fast, O worshippers of Allah, to dua. Meaning dua will help you against things that have already happened and things that have not yet happened. So keep making dua. Keep making dua. You see, sometimes we are suffering with something that happened 15 years ago, 5 years ago, a mistake that we made 20 years ago. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to help us. So call upon Allah. Dua will help you. And we learn in a hadith that indeed Allah is merciful and generous, and he is shy that his slave should raise his hands before him and then he does not place something good in them. Meaning when you call upon Allah, Allah will certainly give you something. Something. You will not return empty-handed. In another hadith, we learn that when a Muslim yansibu wajhahu lillahi azza wa jalla, that a Muslim fixes his face before Allah, meaning sits down and just makes dua to Allah for long and consistently, over and over again. And he is in, you know, completely focused on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for something, then Allah will definitely give him something. And it is up to Allah. He will give it either sooner or later, but he will definitely give it. So this is how we should be making dua. Allahu Akbar. You see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَبَشِّرِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Give good news to those who believe and those who do righteous good deeds. Give them good news of what? A reward of paradise. But there is a condition over here. Those who believe and do righteous good deeds. This good news is for them. When it comes to dua, there is no condition. Allah says, Ud'uni, call upon me, astajib lakum. I will answer you. So the only condition is that you actually call upon Allah. That's it. No other condition. And we see that even when Iblis asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for something, Allah gave it to him. Imagine Iblis, the one who showed so much arrogance before Allah, refused to obey Allah. When he asked Allah that, Ya Allah, grant me a delay, don't cause me to die until the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted that. And yet, Iblis lies to us when he tells us your dua will not be accepted, and we believe his lie. Don't believe his lie. Your dua will be accepted. Believe what Allah is telling you. Ujibu, I respond. In another hadith, we learn that nothing turns back the decree except supplication, and nothing increases the lifespan except righteousness. And Imam Ghazali, he said that dua repels trials and tribulations. Just as a shield is a means of repelling arrows, meaning if arrows are being shot toward you, you will pick up a shield in order to defend yourself, to protect yourself. Just like that, trials and tribulations are averted because of dua. And just as water is a means of growing plants, meaning when you will give water, then the plant will grow. Likewise, when you will make dua, then you will attain Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy, and tribulation will be repelled from you. So dua is a means of attaining abundant goodness. And we see that the prophets of Allah, the righteous, what did they do? They called upon Allah and they asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for big things and many things. Look at the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam. He said, رَبَّنَا وَبَعَثْ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِكَ. That, oh Allah, in my offspring, send a messenger. This is a big thing that he asked Allah for. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responded to that dua. So dua is effective against all trials and difficulties and tribulations. It repels trials. It prevents them from even occurring. And those that have already occurred, It removes them. Dua is the weapon of the believer. It is jami'ul khayr. It is something that brings a whole lot of good to a slave. Because you see, every good thing is in the hand of Allah. It is in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's control. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most generous. So if you ask for something good from Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give it. So ask Him, because this is a means of getting a lot of good. And when we make dua, then our illness goes away. Our worries and our concerns, they go away. The troubles that we are experiencing, the problems that we are in, they get solved. Because of dua, we get sustenance. Because of dua, we also get closeness to Allah. We learn, مَنْ لَمْ يَسْأَلِ اللَّهَ يَغْضَبْ عَلَيْهِ. The one who does not ask Allah, then Allah is angry with him. SubhanAllah. This means that the one who asks Allah, then Allah is pleased with him. And if you feel that Allah is angry with you, then make dua. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will become pleased with you. Ask Him for help. Ask Him for forgiveness. Ask Him for His favor, His mercy, and Allah will become pleased with you. And when a person continues to call upon Allah, they learn to become free of the creation. Yani, they learn to become independent of the creation, and they learn to depend on the Creator. And when a person continues to call upon Allah, they receive closeness to Allah, and this is how they become connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Without dua, there is disconnect. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the joy of calling upon Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to call upon Him for every little and big thing. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us closeness to Him. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to remember Him and call upon Him the moment that we get struck, the moment that we experience any challenge, any difficulty, that our first response, our first thought is that my Lord is there. He will take care of me. He will answer me. He will help me. Inshallah, in our next session, we will talk more about the importance of dua and the ways in which dua is accepted. And then inshallah, we will learn about the various kinds of du'as that we learn in the Quran and Sunnah. Inshallah, we will conclude over here. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. أستغفرك وأتوب إليك والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته